Good morning and welcome to all the church family of Abbotsford Anglican St Andrews and all those who are joining us and listening in for the first time today. We are so pleased you can join us. My name is Karen and I'm a member of our ministry team here at Abbotsford Anglican, and I will be leading us through our time of worship this morning. With me today are our minister, Reverend Trevor Young, also Sam, Rosemary and Yung Lan on the music team, Minette and Stuart, who will bring us the Bible readings, and Diane will lead us in prayer. You might like to follow along on the order of service that was emailed to you or is available on our church website alongside this recording. Or you can simply listen and join in as you feel able. This morning, we are continuing in our current series of sermons that are exploring people's pressing needs and wants and how the Bible provides both reasoning and answers for them. The desire to be loved is universal, and we will be hearing more on that from Trevor later in our service. And there's no greater reminder of how we can find that need met in Jesus than by partaking in the Lord's Supper together, as we will today. You might like to pause the recording here, and if you haven't already, you could get yourself a small drink and a piece of bread or cracker so you're ready when we come to that part of the service. As we begin our time together, hear these words from Psalm 92 and 95. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So then, let's stand and sing in adoration of our God, who is seated on his throne, King over all the nations and worthy of our praise. Psalm 139, we read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But we fail to honour him as we should and to respond to his love for us. Recognising our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, let us confess our sins together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to live
and our name, and to live for your honour and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we come to hear God's word read, please join with me in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your holy scriptures, their precepts, promises, directions, and light. In them may we learn of Christ. Amen.
Our first Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonour others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Our second reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In response to God's word, let us affirm with Christians across the ages our confidence in the God who has spoken. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. And if you're listening in today, welcome. It's great to church with you. Love can mean many things to many people these days. We use the word so freely. I love footy. I love my job. I love my wife. I love my car. I love my children. I love fishing. I love chocolate, etc., etc., etc. It's the same word, but has many different meanings. As Karen said at the beginning of our service, over the past 3 weeks, we've been thinking about what makes people tick. A look at the Bible's reasoning and answers to people's pressing needs and wants. We consider the desire to be taken seriously, the desire to believe in something, and the desire to connect. Three of the top 10 desires sociologist Hugh Mackay considers are our pressing needs and wants in his book, What Makes People Tick. Today, we consider the desire to be loved. But what is love? People were asked to ring into a radio station and give their definition of what love is. One person rang in and said, "Love is a feeling you feel when you feel a feeling that you've never felt before." Another, "Love is a perpetual state of being in unconsciousness." All right. And another, "Love is a gift, a treasure you never let go of, where pleasure, pain, joy and forgiveness are found." And another, "Love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person." In his book, Hugh Mackay describes love as a feeling that motivates a reaction. We love because we are first loved by another. We crave it unconditionally from birth, from our mothers, Hugh writes. And whether we receive it or not, It's what shapes us and our desire to be loved. I'm not certain whether Hugh is a Christian or not. I'd love to meet the man, but I thought it really interesting that he describes what we desire in love in the words of Paul from 1 Corinthians 13. And who wouldn't want to be loved in the way we read in 1 Corinthians 13? It's no wonder it's the most popular Bible reading for a wedding. Who wouldn't desire for people to be patient with you, always kind, never envious, never boastful about themselves and proud, never dishonouring you, never self-seeking, never easily angered, keeping no record of your wrongs, never delighting in evil, but rejoicing with you in the truth, always protecting you, always hopeful for you, always trusting you, and always persevering with you, no matter what. Who wouldn't want to desire to be loved like this? And it says something about us. Our desire is not to love, but to be loved. In reference to romantic love, one of the first things we learn about love, writes Hugh, is actually a lesson about love itself. If it's not reciprocal, it's not love. But the desire of ours to be loved, this craving for unconditional love from another, has built in it from its very beginnings its own failure to be received and its inevitable disappointment and frustration. Our desire to be loved will not be met unless another first chooses to love us. But why would they love us if we don't first love them? And if I should choose to love them so as to elicit their love for me, what is it that will keep me loving them to do so? And how can someone keep on loving another if love stops being given altogether? It seems to me that if this is true, our desire to be loved will never be met if we look for it in an imperfect other. How then can our desire to be loved and to love be met? The person who rang in and said, "Love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person," I think wasn't too far from the truth. What Hugh and many, I think, fail to realise is that the love spoken of in 1 Corinthians 13 is not about another loving us, but us loving another. 1 Corinthians 13 love is not something we give in exchange for love. It's not the kind of love that says, "I'll love you if you'll love me in return." It's love that says, "I will choose and keep on loving you even if I haven't heard you say or be shown you love me in the last minute, day, week, month, year." This is no wimpy kind of love. This is tough love. And in fact, it's the love that God himself chooses to love us with, even when we don't deserve it. In John chapter 3, we read, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." And in Romans chapter 5, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in our reading today from 1 John, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. "Dear friends," John goes on to write, "since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." How is our desire to be loved met? Why should we love another? Because God loved us and loves us. He who is perfect and can give unconditional love to an imperfect person loved and loves us. We know that in the cross. And we love because he first loved us. God's love meets our love need and fuels and empowers us to love the other first, even those who don't want our love or we feel don't deserve it. Such is the love of God for us that meets our need to be loved, so to love another. How is this love given? What does it look like? A professor of child psychology overheard his next door neighbour rousing on her 2 8-year-old twins. Leaning across the fence, he called out, "My dear, you must love your children and not punish them." Summer came and the professor had just newly laid his drive with concrete and was resting in his favourite chair in the shade of a tree in his front yard, sipping on an iced tea, when the twins stuck their heads around the gate, smiled at the professor and ran through his freshly laid concrete. Jumping up from his chair, furious, shaking his fist and yelling blue murder, the professor chased the boys into the neighbour's yard and into the arms of their curious mother, wondering what all the fuss was about. "Punish these children of yours," demanded the professor. "They've just walked all through my freshly laid concrete." Cool, calm and collected, the mother asked, "I thought you said we must love our children and not punish them." "Yes," replied the professor, "but I love in the abstract, not in the concrete." But sadly, a lot of our loving is in the abstract and it's not in the concrete. It was coming up to Mother's Day and an ambitious man, busy with life, with family, with work and sport, texted his mother telling her how much he loved her, missed her and would do anything for her, only to end his text with, "Hope to visit you on Mother's Day, Mum, if work and family commitments permit." The Bible teaches how much we love others proves how much we know and love God. Elsewhere in his letter, John wrote, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And a little later in John 1, John 3, 18, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth." And Jesus himself said, as we heard read earlier in the service, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." And therein lies what love is. Loving others as we would love ourselves. If we are cold, we don't hesitate to put on a jumper. If we're hungry or thirsty, we find ourselves something to eat or drink. If appreciative of a conversation, we take the initiative and talk with another. As we would want to be loved ourselves, so we do for others. This is love for God and one another. And often that love is sacrificial at our expense. Loving as Christ would love. Being like Christ. A couple at Christmas wanted to show how much they loved each other. So they decided to exchange gifts. Both poor, They chose to sell their most precious possession for a gift for the other. He had a pocket watch given to him by his grandfather. She had long golden plaited hair. Unbeknown to the other, he sold his watch to buy a cone and bows to go in his fiancée's hair. She sold her plaits to buy him a chain for his pocket watch. Christmas Day came and they exchanged gifts. There was a chain, but no watch. A comb and bows, but no plaits of golden hair. At first they didn't know what to say. Then, embracing and laughing, they realised how much they loved each other. It's easy to love when we are loved. But how can we love when others sin against us, or our love is not returned, or stopped being given? How can we love sacrificially in the concrete and not in the abstract? We love because God first loved us. You and I are no different to all people. We, with all people, whether Christian or not, desire to be loved. But as Christians, our motivation, our taking the initiative to love and to keep on loving is not because the other loves us, but because God loves us. Another's love in return would be nice and often given, but knowing we are loved by God is enough for us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, since you have loved us in the cross and continue to love us in life, grant us the grace to love sacrificially the other. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.